Good evening. God bless you. How's everybody doing tonight? Good, good, good. We're going to open with a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to be here. Touch all of us, amen. And give us more people. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your protection, your healing power, which we need. We thank you for all you've done for us. Make your word alive to our hearts, we pray tonight. Cause our mind to understand. By your Holy Spirit, inspire us with what you would want us to know. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Amen. We're talking about the fact that God is going to deliver the church before destruction. Of course, that's a principle in the Word of God. You see it all through the Old Testament. God never punishes the righteous with the unrighteous when he's punishing the unrighteous for their sin. Now, we have to be careful, because we can go off the deep end, so we have to be careful, but let's just follow what the scripture says, right? 2 Peter 2, 4 through 10. Debbie.
For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority.
Interesting the way Peter puts that, isn't it?
Yeah.
In verse 4, why did he punish the angels? Verse 4, why did he punish the angels?
They sinned.
He punished them for sinning. Cast them into hell. Committed them to the chains of gloomy darkness. Okay. Why did he punish the ancient world? You remember the story of Noah?
Because of their sin.
Because of their sin. God had had enough. Sodom and Gomorrah. God had had enough. It's interesting the slant he puts on Lot. I would call this, what do they call the politicians when the spin room? Even though it's the inspired word of God, it seems to me just a little bit of spin here. He rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by sensual conduct of the wicked. If you put a movie on in your house and they come up and there's first right off the bat, there's nudity and taking the name of the Lord in vain, and it is just horrendous, that distresses you, right? What do? Turn it off. So Lot is greatly distressed, but he doesn't leave.
He's probably making too much money.
Yeah, but we know he could have left, because who lives up in the mountains? The richest man alive then, and his own uncle, who loved him dearly, who has already rescued him once. So I'm going to trust the inspired word of God on this one. But to me, it makes it difficult to stress the inspired word of God. And he says, and if he rescued righteous Lot, well, we know he was righteous, greatly distressed by sensual conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man lived among them day after day for the love of Saint Peter. Right? If all of a sudden they were to issue an edict in East Greenbush that you could no longer pray, you could no longer read the Word of God, you had to pay an extra tax because you were a Christian, and they just heaped on us all kinds of persecution, we have an option, do we not? Pack up and leave. He never packed up and left. In fact, as a matter of fact, the angels had to drag him out of the city. So I'm going to talk to Peter when I get there. Not this one. I'm going to talk to this one too. But I'm going to talk to that one when I get there. Because...
And then he offered his daughter.
Right.
He had done that before he left, Leah.
Oh my God.
No, he did that before he left.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he lied to the ones at the door. This guy was interesting.
His daughters were already married.
Yes, he lied to the guys at the door. What did he tell them they were?
They were virgins.
Yeah.
He knew it was a safe bet that they weren't interested in girls.
Is that true? True, Peter. But it is not uncommon in a homosexual community to have a homosexual rape a woman. That's not uncommon because rape is not a factor of sexual pleasure. It's a factor of power. So you know, they obviously wanted power. They wanted pleasure, but they wanted power. Well, they got it. They got blinded. They didn't get a chance to see the fire and brimstone fall out of heaven. They just felt it because they were blind. I love that story. See? He was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. I have trouble with that, but I don't have trouble with the next verse. Then connects this verse 9 with what is previous in 6 through 8, right? Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. And that's what the rapture is all about. The tribulation period is the punishment of those that rejected Christ. How could God want to punish us for accepting Christ along with those he's punishing for rejecting Christ? I'd have to really study the character of the God I serve and keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. Just read what happens in the tribulation period, and I would ask you, is that punishment or is that not punishment? One third of the oceans turn to blood. One third less fish. How many like fish? I love fish. I love fish. And it's good for you. Can you imagine what a salmon is going to cost? Can you imagine what a mahi-mahi is going to cost? We won't be able to afford it if we're here, Maureen. One third of all fresh water is turned to poison. I love trout. Won't be hard to find it. Going to be hard to get something to drink. I wonder how much this is going to cost. Anybody been in the airport lately? Huh? What did you pay? Did you buy water inside after going through security possible when you went to Ghana?
Yeah, we bought some in London.
You bought some?
In London.
Yeah, and what did you pay?
I think £3-4 or so.
£3 or £4, almost $5. Could you imagine what it's going to cost during the tribulation period? See, especially those who indulge in lust of defiling passions and despising authority. We obey the Lord. We're not despising authority. We're not involved in defiling passions and lust. No, we're serving Him. Thank you, Jesus. So the family of Noah and the family of Lot experienced a great rescue, would you not say? Huge rescue, right? The Lord knows how to rescue us from judgment. Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:10, Xiao Yang. Do you have the note? 17. I think I gave them to her last week. Yeah. Yes.
For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe.
So He's the Savior of all people. Of course, we know those who accept. But then He adds a caveat, Paul does. He says, especially to those who believe. To this end, we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior, especially of those who believe. Aren't you glad we're going to be saved out of this mess? Yes, Xiao Ying.
So, if He is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe, so like for those who do not believe, He's still the Savior?
He's still the Savior. He just isn't the Savior for them. Because they chose not to do something as simple and easy and free as believing. Right? They chose not to. What did the Bible say He came to?
Seek
and to save those that are lost. How many are lost?
All of us.
Everyone born. And see, Xiao Ying, he says He came to seek and to save those who are lost. Not willing, he says, that any should perish. That's everybody. So what Paul is saying there, God has done everything He can to be the Savior of all people. But He's not going to be able to be the Savior of those that won't let Him. But those who believe, he says, especially those who believe, yeah, He is the Savior. Does that make sense?
So for those who don't believe, to them,
they're damned.
To them, then, He's not the Savior.
No. Well, He's still the Savior. They just don't get to enjoy the benefit because they choose to do what the benefit requires of them. Yeah. Except, I go into a buffet, Xiao Yang, right? What's the name of one around here? Huh?
Super buffet.
What?
The super buffet.
Super buffet. I go into a buffet and I pay, right? I pay one price for everything, right? So therefore, I have paid for everything. Everything is mine. But there's a lot that I don't eat. I don't eat the sushi. You probably like sushi. I don't eat that. I don't eat the stuff that's got pepper and Cajun spices on it. No. But it's still there for me. It's still mine. I get to take it if I want. But I don't take it. Therefore, I don't get to enjoy the benefits of it. Go out with my son, and he's ordering sushi, and he's telling me, oh, Dad, this is so good, this is so good. It goes right in here, and right out there, it doesn't even stop and make logic.
But you love fish.
Huh?
But you love fish.
Oh, I love fish. Yeah.
Do you like sashimi then?
There is sushi.
I don't know. But anyway, what I'm saying is, the salvation, Xiao Yang, is here. It's available to all. But not all are going to take advantage of it. So they won't be saved. It doesn't change the fact that He's the Savior. That doesn't change anything. The fact of whether I accept Him or not doesn't change anything. See? If He says to me, I'm going to heal you. But you're going to have to tell somebody that I'm going to heal you in 3 days. And I don't tell anybody, so I'm not healed. Whose fault was it? Did he cease to be the healer? No. No, I just refused to do what was necessary to have the benefit. I get people all the time that do this with tithing. Well, so first they'll tell you, you always know when someone has a problem with something because they say, I don't believe that. That's not in the New Testament, but it is in the New Testament. In fact, it's in the New Testament by Jesus himself. So they'll tell you. They'll tell you, I can't. Well, there's no such thing as I can't. The verb is, I won't. Right? Because I can do anything I want. It just matters. How many know that sometimes you have to move things around in order to make sure you've obeyed God in the tithe? I'll put up 2 hands. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's not easy, but the blessing is out of this world. See? And then they wonder. I know a Christian that tells me I can't tithe. I've been here 11 years and have yet to hit a deer. He's totaled 2 cars by hitting deer. What's the difference? I believe the difference is doing what God tells you to do so that the Lord doesn't have to slap you. I don't want to be slapped by God. God says, obey me, do this. See? Don't hate people. Because if you hate them, you've committed murder in your heart. Well, bless God, I better be careful. You know, there's some that are real easy to hate. Biden, Pelosi, Schumer. There's some that are real easy to hate, but I can't. Because he says I can't. See? Does that make sense? See? There's no way when I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, I have no scripture. None. None. But at the judgment seat of Christ, when he is damning the lost to hell, I believe tears will be running down his face. Because remember, this is the God that gave his only son that the world would be saved, and they rejected him. So he's forced to, by his justice, he's forced to damn them to hell. And that's not going to be easy. Those of us that have had children and had to discipline them, I know Peter and Maureen had a perfect child, so they never had to discipline her. But some of us had some strong-willed children. Xiao Ying probably never has to discipline that beautiful daughter she's got. But I know Debbie probably did. She had 4 boys. So I know she probably had to. Was one of them easier than the others?
Yes.
Yeah. Was one harder than the others?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But you still had to do it. And it did not.
You didn't have to think about that, you know.
It did not make you feel good. You had to discipline them to point them in the right direction. That wasn't a happy time. It wasn't happy when I had to discipline Erica and Jonathan. That's why Leah left it to me. But
look at their faces. You shared in that.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. So, when Paul describes the rapture in Thessalonians, he says to us a key phrase: comfort one another with these words. What comfort is it that I'm going to have to go through the tribulation period? Where is the comfort in that? And we'll go through what's going to happen in the first 3.5 years and the last 3.5 years, because it's divided by the middle. And he says to us, wherefore, comfort one another with these words in the 18th verse of 1 Thessalonians 4. So he tells us about the rapture. And then when he gets all done, he says, this ought to be a comfort to you. Remember what the problem was in the church at Thessalonica and most of the churches? That they believed Jesus was going to come in their lifetime. And he was delaying his coming. And they were all nervous about it. And then you had the false prophets running around telling them, probably, I can hear him now, there's sin in your life. That's why he hasn't come back. And they're telling him all kinds of different stuff. Eh? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. See? What's comforting to me, what's comforting to me is that I'm under the power and the protection of God Almighty. When Leah and I would get in our Mitsubishi Montero and we'd go down the road in Colombia and the gorillas were rampant, what enabled me to do that and to drive through a real gorilla area, we went right through a red, that's what they called it, the red area, because they were horrendous. And I told you the story, came around the corner and a Nissan Patrol was broke down. And so I got out and helped him. And when we got ready to leave, change their tire, he says, I need something to write with. And I didn't have anything, so I took the box of Kleenex and I grabbed this ear, isn't that what it's called? And I ripped it off. I did have a pen. I gave him the pen and he put a signature on there. He said, when you get to, on the way, if you have any trouble with the boys, that's what they're called, muchachos, with the boys, you show them this. Well, I felt comforted before, but now I really felt comforted. Who caused that? God. Would Satan do something like that? Not on your life. I was a pretty important person in Colombia. I was an executive presbyter. I had over 300 churches under me. I preached meetings all over the place. And it would have been great to grab a hold of me. Got to Bogota, and I showed it to my friend across the street, and he said, hey, 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 we got to go show this to the colonel that lives next door. So we did, and he said, where did you get this? Because signatures in Latin America are very unique. Are they unique in Ghana too? Yeah, they're almost works of art, aren't they? So this was a work of art. Yeah, I couldn't tell what it said. But he took one look at it, he said, where did you get this? The FARC, which was the big guerrilla group, has been divided into four fronts, they're called. And this is the head of one of the four fronts. Man, I wanted to run around the whole municipality that I lived in. I never threw that away. I put that somewhere safe. I was going to show that everywhere. That's the protection you have. But if you're being condemned to go through God's punishment of the wicked for rejecting Him, I can't find any comfort in that. Oh yeah, He might protect me. But the trouble is, His object is not me. His object is those who rejected Him. And I didn't reject them. So therefore, He gives me a way out. And I call that the rapture. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 10:13 to add a little bit more to it, Leah.
No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it.
Why doesn't He say a way to endure? He says a way to escape.
Sometimes we have to go through it.
Yeah, but no, that's not what He says here. He says He will also provide a way of escape. It's real easy to endure the temptation if you've escaped it. Hello? So He says here, I see you wrinkling up your forehead there, Jenny. He says He will also provide a way of escape. What does that say to you?
So there's a difference between temptation and trial. A trial.
Well, a trial could be a temptation.
It could.
Yeah, but there is a difference.
You have to go through trials.
But the trouble is, there's nowhere in the Word of God, not one place where it says the tribulation period is a trial.
No, I'm not talking.
For the church, never says it. So. He's not talking, He's talking about everything that happens to us here. But the whole idea is God provides a way of escape. How did I escape hell? Have I escaped hell? Yeah, have you escaped hell, Maureen? Have you, Peter?
No.
Yeah, how?
By the blood of Jesus.
Exactly right. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go to hell. Right? That doesn't mean you have to go to hell. That simply means that you're not ever going to have to go to hell. You're going to escape. Glory to God. I love that. See? I believe it's all part of God's grace to you and I. He promised us, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. He will provide a way of escape. The King James says, make a way of escape. God has designed for the Church of Jesus Christ a way of escape, a rescue, and I love to call it an evacuation. We've seen it in California. Did you see the guy that went back to see his house today? How many saw that on the news?
And all the houses around him, but his house was
standing. His house was still standing. Was he excited?
He was really sad.
Yeah. He was excited for his neighbors, but he was sad for his neighbors, but he was could you imagine the mixed emotions? He escaped.
Was that the guy that put the sprinklers?
No, that was another one. He not only saved his, but he saved two others. So a total of three. Yeah. So he escaped. The fire did not touch him. What's Psalm 18:19 say? Jenny?
He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me.
Yeah. When we get into the tribulation period, I need someone to explain to me what is the delight of God in the tribulation period. What would make him cause those of us that love him and obey him and worship him and preach the gospel to go through any part of that miserable 7-year period? Because Daniel calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. 7 years. The time of Jacob's trouble. It's not going to be fun. See? The rapture, I believe, is an extension of God's character. This is why I have a problem with it. I had someone tell me, but you don't understand. The pre-trib rapture is a modern belief. That's not what the early church believed. I said to him, shut him right up. I said, so is the initial evidence of the baptism in the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. That's a modern doctrine. And he is Pentecostal, and he looked at me. And he said, I hadn't thought of that. I didn't figure you had. There's a lot of things that happened during the time of the great revival in Europe. They had trouble believing in divine healing. But we know divine healing was a factor of the book of Acts, do we not? We know it's a factor today, do we not? We know that the baptism of the Holy Ghost happened in the book of Acts. We know it happens today. We know that the gifts were in evidence in the book of Acts. We know they're in evidence today. But there's a whole swash of the church today that will not believe in any of that. Refuses to.
But that's not going to preclude them from going.
No. They described it so well in Costa Rica, remember? The Baptist missionaries, they would look at us and they say, I don't know what you guys do. We have 4 or 5 times a missionary, sometimes 10 times a missionary as you guys have in a country, and your churches are sometimes 10 times bigger than ours. We don't understand that. People are getting saved all the time in your churches and not in ours. We don't understand that. Sat in a Jeepster. How many know what a Jeepster is? They're wonderful 4-wheel drive Jeeps. They were wonderful. I wish I could get a hold of one today. And I'm sitting in the Jeepster, and I get picked up because I was hiking up the mountain to boarding school, and I get picked up by Christian Missionary Alliance missionaries. And I get in there, and they come right out. They say, You're Pentecostal, right? Yes. And they say, we got the baptism of the Holy Ghost too. And there's a big grin on their face. He says, you wouldn't believe what's happening in our church. But he says, I have to be quiet. Because the Christian Missionary Alliance says, you know, you can't, you don't tell and you can't promote. No. Xiao Yang.
Oh, so like 1 Corinthians 10, he says he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability.
That's right.
Does that also apply to the trials, the suffering that you go through?
Correct. But not in the tribulation period. Because the tribulation period is not coming from God. The trials and temptations I go through here are coming from my flesh, from the enemy, from people around me. You know? If someone tells me I'm stupid, I don't believe they're motivated by God. They just don't like me. I can take that without any problem at all. I usually agree with them. That blows their mind.
So it's not just temptation, like it includes like both
trials, includes difficulty, sickness, anything that is the result of the curse.
Yeah, because I heard some people say it only applies to temptation. So that's they say like they say that God will not give you more than you can handle. It's wrong.
Have you ever been sick and learned something from it?
Sick?
Yes. Have you ever been sick physically and learned something from it?
Gee, I can't wait for it to get better.
I have. So, everything that comes our way can become, I liked what one friend of mine used to say, we can either make it a slide to defeat or a stepping stone to victory. It's up to us. But a lot of times we never see the escape because we're so focused on the temptation and the trial and the problem and the difficulty that we're not looking for God's hand in anything. Because the church has taught for too long, God's hand's not in that. Well, his hand may not be in here in that, but the rescue is his hand. See? See?
So if you were to say this another way.
Okay.
To say it differently. Then you would say that God will allow you to be tempted to a point that you can no longer stand it. At that point, it will be your escape.
Yeah. Yep.
Not what you feel like you can accept.
Yeah, it's always his decision.
It's his decision. He knows that you can go 3 or 4 steps farther than you believe you can go. And he'll take you those steps, but then he'll open the heavens.
Yeah, we must always remember and never forget. We look at time and history from here to there, to the future. God doesn't. God looks at it from the future to the past.
God sees the whole scope.
Yeah. See? God, when he made the Garden of Eden and he created it, he was looking at the millennial reign of Christ.
Yeah.
Because he starts at the end and he works back to the beginning. That's why I've told you, this book, the Bible, is all about redemption and restoration. Everything else is secondary. It shows me how unrighteous, disobedient, bad people can be rescued by the power of God and changed. Look at Paul. Paul's a powerful Simon. Of Tarsus. Paul of Tarsus. He is a Saul of Tarsus. He is one powerful individual. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. He has been given the task of eradicating the Church of the Way, because that's what they were called. He was persecuting the Christians. He oversaw Stephen's death. And God said, this is enough. And he knocks him off his horse and blinds him. I think the blinding had more to do with his fact this is God than anything. But remember, we're not talking about a stupid man here. We're not talking about a doctor of the law, of the Torah. He was brilliant. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. And he was bad, bad, bad. That's why he could say, I'm the greatest of all the sinners. Yep. But look what God did, because God starts there and goes there. We start there and go there. That's why so many people live in the past. God would give me one wish. I would say, just block out the past of every Christian I've ever known. Make it a blank slate. So that you ask them how they got saved? I don't remember. Are you saved? Yes. When did you get saved? Don't remember. Were you abused as a child? Don't remember. Did your wife cheat on you? Don't remember. Do you realize how easy life would be? And the devil couldn't bring it up? The Lord delights in his church. Amen? The Lord delights in his family. The Lord delights in you. The Lord delights in me. Yes, we're going to suffer problems in this world. But God always makes a way of escape for you and I. And he certainly would not be the God I know and that I've read all through the Word of God if he didn't deliver me before he punished Israel for the rejection of Christ. Now, it's wonderful. He punishes Israel, but what happens in the end? They accept Jesus. Glory to God. They accept Jesus. And they proclaim him to be their Messiah. See, the theme goes on through Psalm 34. Now let's see if we can do Psalm 34. Let's see here. Caroline, Psalm 34, 4, 6 through 8, 17, 19 through 22.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Before men cried, the Lord saved me out of all his troubles.
Whoa!
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the men of the Lord. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Whoa. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? How many times does he say that the Lord will deliver us? Verse 17, verse 19, right? Verse 22, in a way. See? He delights in us. What's that? Yep. The same one, the Lord Jesus Christ, glory to God, who delivered us from sin, from our past, who empowers us by the Holy Ghost. Over and over and over again, he saves us. A lot of times, we don't even know he's doing the saving. Some people are going to be shocked when they get to heaven. Oh, like that guy came in and got saved. And he says to Isaias, he says, what is the witchcraft that the missionary has on him? Because his brother had been riding his motorcycle that his father gave him, a 600 Yamaha, on the 4th of July, drunk in the wrong lane, and hit my father head on and was thrown 300 feet behind the pickup and died instantaneously. And they vowed they would kill that missionary. We didn't know know this? And one of the brothers comes in to get saved, and he says to Esaias, what is the witchcraft that that missionary has on him? Because that's his only point of reference. And Esaias says, that's not witchcraft, that's the Holy Ghost, that's God. Why? He said, because we had him in the gun sight, and we pulled the trigger. Not once, not twice, but three times, and the gun would not fire. We moved the gun off him and it fired. We put it back on him and it wouldn't fire. We moved it off and it fired. We put it back on him and it wouldn't fire, and we got out of there. Because they thought it was witchcraft. My father didn't even know that was happening. Had no clue. I think we're going to be shocked when we get there and we find out how many times the Lord saved us. When the car did not hit us in the butt. But we escaped. And we didn't know. Right? When the devil wanted to kill us and he wasn't able to. And the Lord's going to show us, because we're going to know even as we are known. Right? Okay? I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me. Glory be to God. See? Deborah Morton, she wrote a book called Beyond the Storm, and she describes what happened to her family during Hurricane Katrina. And she says that her 70-year-old dad and stepmom had been evacuated before the storm, but went back to the home afterwards thinking all is now safe. When the nearby tree levee gave way and the water began to rise in the house, and this is a quote, and I quote, my father and stepmother, who was on dialysis, along with my sister, her husband, and their children, had to escape to the over 100-degree attic for 3 days to avoid drowning. There was nowhere to go. How could they let anybody know they were trapped in the attic? Most attics don't have windows, right? Some of these old ones up here do. But you go into modern houses and they don't have any windows. My attic has no windows in it. So, and it gets hot up there. Steamy hot in the tropics. Frightened little family could hear the chopping sounds of a helicopter above them. But there was no way to let them know they were there. I think I would have set the roof on fire. Better burn down the house than die. Right? Yeah. According to Deborah, one of the family members finally managed to open a small hole in the roof. I would have done it too. If I had to claw with my fingernails. They opened a small hole in the roof, just big enough to push a broken compact mirror through. My father told me he felt in his heart when on the third day the rescuers saw that little mirror's reflection. He was right. They did, and the family was rescued on the third day. There's something about the third day, she said. And she wrote that book called Beyond the Storm. There's something about the third day, just like the resurrection story. We were set free. Okay? Now, the Lord's not going to need to knock a hole in the roof, and we're not going to need to flash a mirror at him. He knows where we are, he knows who we are, and he's coming to rescue us and get us out of here. The trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to go. John Cena, how many know who he is? Yeah, he's a wrestler, right? John Cena knows how to entertain a crowd. He always knows how to keep a promise. For more than 20 years, he's been an ambassador for Make-A-Wish Foundation. How many know what I'm talking about? Make-A-Wish Foundation, an organization that serves children suffering from life-threatening diseases by connecting them with celebrities for a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Most of them are dying that they get to take. These experiences can include meeting a hero, going to a baseball game, as long as it's not the Yankees, visiting a movie set, serving as an honorary fireman or honorary cop. According to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, Cena has helped fulfill 650 wishes over these 20-year period. Now go ahead and divide 650 by 20. He's doing a lot every year. A lot every year. No other celebrity has participated, hear me, in over 200. He's got 650. Cena says that he's still going. He's still volunteering. Whenever he hears the opportunity to bless the life of an ill child, he takes it. Sometimes with his own money. Speaking about his appreciation for the foundation, this is what he said. And I quote, "If you ever need me for this ever, I don't care what I'm doing. I will drop what I'm doing, get involved because I think that's the coolest thing. I just drop everything." End of quote. Now, the rapture is God's promise to drop everything he's doing and set us free and get us out of here. Bring you to my Father's house for all eternity. Some students believe the rapture will take place at the end of the tribulation. Some say it will take place in the middle of the tribulation. Some say it will take place at the end of the millennium. Just before the earth is burned up and destroyed. Now, those that believe in the middle, they're mid-tribulationists. Those that believe before, they're pre-tribulationists. Those that believe after, they're post-tribulationists. Those that believe after the millennial are post-millennialists. Now, it's important to acknowledge the differences in the line of thought when we talk about this. I simply believe that the preponderance of scriptural evidence makes clear that the rapture of the church will take place before the tribulation period. I have to use God's character and God's word. I can't separate the two. Sparing us the awful tribulation period that starts in Revelation 6 and ends in Revelation 18. Now, we want to examine, and we may not get to it this week, but we will next week, one verse of scripture that indicates a before rapture, a before tribulation rapture. It's one of the most important verses in the entire New Testament. Early in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus talks himself. This is not John doing the talking. This is John being the, what do they call the person in court? Stenographer. This is John being the stenographer. What does the stenographer do?
Records every word as he
goes. Word for word, right? So this is John being a stenographer, recording word for word. He doesn't say this is like unto. This is similar to. This looks like, okay? It's to the church in Philadelphia. All right, Revelation chapter 3. I got to find it here. 10. Revelation chapter 3, 10. Maureen.
"Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth."
Because you have kept my word. I'm going to use this someday when I'm preaching on obedience. You want to know how important obedience is? Right here. "Because you've kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole earth." He doesn't say, "I'll bless you and protect you as you go through the hour of trial." He said, "I will keep you from." Now, if my house is burning, and I come to it, and Peter and Maureen have come to visit me, and I come in behind them, and the house is burning, and I get out of my truck in a hurry and I rush into the house. I'm going to rush into the house. And Peter says, no, you're not. And he grabs a hold of me and won't let me go in the house. That is called keeping me from. Right? That is not dousing me with water so I won't get burned, so when I go in the house, the fires won't hurt me. No, 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 no. That is keeping me out of the fire. That's keeping me out of this catastrophe that has happened to me. See, so he says here, because you have kept my word, I love this verse. Of course, you know I love this verse. My word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. Now, that's what the rapture is. It's God's promise to you and I that one day Jesus will drop everything and come and get us and keep us from the hour of trial that's coming on the whole earth. Right? Now, I want you to keep in mind something very important here. Andrew M. Woods wrote this. Commentators of all stripes readily acknowledge that this verse represents the most significant verse in the debate over the timing of the rapture. This is the most significant verse. We're going to stop there. Questions? Yes?
Are you talking about Revelation 3:10 is to the Church of Philadelphia and compliments the Church of Philadelphia, but he's also earlier speaking to the Church of Smyrna and has nothing bad to say to them.
Yeah.
However, he does say, I know your affliction and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Here's the point. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. So,
how do we, Peter, get 7 years out of 10 days? And where in the tribulation period, because he says he's going to try him 10 days.
10 days.
Okay. 10 days he says he's going to try him. Right? And then secondly, how in the world do I get prison out of the tribulation period? The Bible is very clear. Those that do not accept the mark of the beast are going to be killed. It doesn't say the Antichrist is going to put them in prison. This is talking about the persecution of the church during the Middle Ages and afterwards. It's not talking about the tribulation period.
What is the Philadelphia church?
The Philadelphia church is because he sticks that one verse in so that we understand we do escape. Because remember, the early church wasn't thinking they were going to escape anything. It's a big problem in the early church. And there was a whole faction in the early church that was saying Jesus is never coming back. So, well, I can go back even to the church at Ephesus. He says to them, what does he say? Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works. If all of these churches and all of these promises have to do with the tribulation period, then I can't take and separate one, right? They all got to be included. But they're included in church history. And we can line them up with church history.
Yeah, they picture church history and they picture different ages of the church.
Yeah.
They also picture different churches.
Yeah.
And they also picture different people.
Okay. Yeah.
Different individuals.
So he,
everything.
He says the church at Sardis, right? Is the one you're talking about.
Smyrna.
Oh, Smyrna. That's not before Philadelphia. That's way back. That's church number two. That's church number two. That was church during the Roman persecution, which was hellacious.
Yes, they're ages, yeah. But they're also different church buildings. It's also different people. Churches just mean called out ones. So.
Yeah. We know it's talking about a church that's poor. It's talking about a church. A lot of the church today is not poor. I got a friend that's building a church, and it's going to cost him $51 million. I don't say that's a poor church, do you? But I know a lot of churches during the persecution time, and in Cuba today, that can't even buy property. Can't build anything.
Can't build them in Egypt.
Yeah. But thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. And that church did not fear. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, what an incredible book. What an incredible book. I would recommend it to everybody. The devil will cast some of you in prison. Where do we see that in the tribulation period? And I wish this were true, because I would prefer a tribulation period of 10 days and 7 years.
Well, it's probably a FEMA camp, 10 days, and then they cut your head off.
See, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. You're not going to die spiritually, is what he's saying. We'll get more into this next week. Study up. We're going to get into this. Study up. I want a debate. Praise of my God. All right. Any questions?
Can I just say I love Peter, but I hope he's wrong?
No, he is wrong. That's why the greatest thing, you know what the greatest thing is going to do? God is going to allow me. I was talking to him today about this. God's going to allow me. God is going to allow me to be at Hannaford's when the rapture takes place. And God's going to allow me to grab onto his ankle. And he's going to look down there and he's going to be kicking, trying to get me off. And I'm going to be saying, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. And he's going to look down and say, I am so glad you were right.
I will never say I told you.
No, I know.
Not like that.
I know you're not. You're just wonderful. That's why Maureen married you. Yes, Bonnie.
And I'm going to be on the rolly cart at Hannaford. Who's going to sneak in there? I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, and then he has the gall to say he's not like that.
And then Jenny will come by and throw stuff at me and yell at me. Every week it's a new prank.
Amen. Any more questions? Are you okay, Xiao Yang?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure I handled your question correctly. And you're okay?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll deal with you later, yeah. Amen. No, I'm not okay. Oh, man. Let's pray for all those that are sick in this church. God, Lord, in heaven, help.